Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
Morena, Lara.
Morena.
Morena. How are you?
Oh, you know, I didn't expect to be learning this much about fuel, like, you know, logistics, supply chains, but, you know, here we are.
Yep, yeah, it's one of those things where it becomes the main thing and then all of a sudden you've got to become a bit of an expert.
Yeah, so true, and it's like, I've noticed that they have pulled out a few of the sort of business school experts on this, so I'm like, good. I always warn random academics, you just don't know when your topic is going to be, like, in the spotlight, and then next thing you know, you're Susie Wiles. So maybe we'll see a Susie Wiles of fuel chain supply economics appear soon.
Yeah, totally, 100%. Oh, it's kind of crazy out there. I don't know, I put $30 in, and the needle barely moved yesterday. It made me want to cry.
Yeah. I've managed to avoid filling up at all. So that's my thing. But, like, I'm looking one of those very lucky people who can work from home and just walk their kid to school. So, like, it's their absolute privilege. But you know what? I look at people, like, I look at my dad who does a sort of, like, 30, 40-minute commute from the country every day to his job that's not it's pretty cruisy, but, you know, it's one of those ones that's not particularly well paid. And I look at people like that and then I think about, you know, those older generations that actually don't have work or people who haven't been able to work for some time due to, like, disability, illness, whatever it is. And you think about the amount in, say, the country and their level of isolation. And because even the other day I was going, oh, like, yeah, I was driving along to visit some family and I was thinking, oh, yeah, actually, for a lot of people, this will be, you know, a decision as to whether do you see whānau or do you put food on the table. And it's like, it was like I felt like a lot of people were hanging on by a thread anyway, and now this has just tipped it into ridiculous territory. It's a hard one, eh?
Yeah. What might be ahead? Like, where do you see all of this going? Because right now it just kind of seems like, you know, the government said, oh, it's all right, we've got some fuel.
Well, the stock levels have gone up, right?
Yeah, they have. And so the thing that we're trying to predict, we're crystal ball gazing for a few different things.
Mm.
One really is what Trump's going to do, which, as we've seen over the past, what has it been now, like since 2016, that's actually really hard to figure out exactly what's going to happen there. And it is one of these situations where we are very much beholden to these sort of international forces that we have absolutely no control over. It's been interesting following the sort of commentary on all of this, just as someone who does this, follows commentary and so on and so forth, because we kind of, you know, the first little while it was like, okay, don't panic. And we were all like, okay, we're not going to panic. There was a 1 p.m. briefing from Nicola Willis, you know, and then she did other things like put a hard hat on and went out on one of the deliveries of the fuel or whatever.
Yes.
So we had that. Then we had last week, we had this press conference of Nicola Willis and Shane Jones, and people were starting to say, where's Luxon? What's he doing? And, you know, but everyone was like, don't panic. And then we've kind of hit this sort of week now where, you know, we've seen the sort of $50 payment, the week payment to low-income families. We've seen that. And then now it's kind of starting to become one of those things where I think a lot of the commentary seems to be looking around. I mean, we see on One News this morning there's a headline about what are other countries doing. Australia has cut the excise tax on fuel, I think lowering the prices by about 26 cents a litre, and a number of places have got free public transport in Australia.
Oh, awesome.
So
love that for them.
Some of those possibilities. And then again, like, you know, I think Carless Day is one of those things that people discussed at first, but we're also starting to see, you know, news items on things like carpooling or other ways to make things work. So it's, I think the discourse is shifting a little bit to, okay, are we going to run out? And when in April would that be? And again, should we be starting to save fuel in some other way as an economy, as a society? And of course, there's a big focus on diesel because of, like, we've got less diesel stocks and the way that it's really important in, you know, manufacturing, agriculture and other industries that hold the economy up. So
we've seen
a bit of a shift in the commentary now to a little bit more urgency and a little bit more panic, I'd say.
Yeah, it's interesting because it's totally that, you know, personal dilemma that lots of people are starting to have about filling up the car or putting food on the table. But then those things are inextricably linked as well with diesel prices, like you say, and diesel stocks, getting food into supermarkets and then onto the table. So it's sort of like, okay, everything's going to get quite a lot more expensive.
Yep, and that's going to be like it's going to be a realistic pressure for so many people in their lives. And we're starting to see that the I word, inflation, enter the chat too, with Nicola Willis and others speculating where that could go to.
Yeah.
And trying to put a dampener on that, because I think a lot of us over the last couple of years are quite, we suddenly A, know what inflation is, which was not something that my generation did know, and then B, are quite cautious and scared of it and have our own views and hot takes on it. So
yeah,
it's one of those things that's it's quite scary for people when a lot of people, I think, were only just hanging on. So that's going to be something really hard for the government to manage people's perceptions. And then also around with perceptions of the economy and perceptions of inflation, it's always going to be a matter of, do the public and do voters think that they're doing enough?
Yeah, I'm interested as to how things are going to go with the big I word, inflation, because I know that a couple of weeks ago we spoke about Nicola Willis as being criticised a little bit for perhaps being too optimistic about how bad inflation could get. Where are we looking, how are people looking forward with inflation now, and has the finance minister sort of changed her stance on things at all?
Well, I think I kind of have seen the same stuff in articles over the last couple of days about inflation and Willis trying to be, it's that tempered kind of like sort of persona that you need to put on as a finance minister to stop people from panicking. Because again, it's like it's been the balance of the fuel purchasing as well, is that if the public then, like if you're the government, you have to be calm, cool, collected, because you send signals to the markets and you send signals to the public. And so if you start to kind of look like you're panicking, people are going to go out and panic buy more. People are going to start panic buying the toilet paper, the canned beans, the foods and stuff like that.
Mm.
You have to have that kind of, you kind of have to be optimistic and you have to hold strong, even though you might in the inside be going, oh no, because that's just what you need to do. Because often, like, it's like that thing of, it's like the political elites, the leaders are setting the tone, setting the culture, saying, showing an issue, then I think the public will react and sort of do things. So, it's that hard balance you have to strike in a crisis. I mean, we saw, I hate the word crisis for this anyway, whatever, but we saw it with Jacinda Ardern. Like, she stuck a really good balance where she was like speaking to us as human people, and we could kind of then understand, and she was really good at explaining things. But as for most leaders in most circumstances, it is a case of, only saying what you need to say.
In terms of the general public and how everyone is feeling, I know we spoke that there's sort of, everyone was pretty trying to remain calm, but it's definitely starting to get to a lot of people now. And you mentioned before our chat that the Herald had published a poll showing that most people are feeling pretty bleak about the future?
Yeah, it's one of those polls where I think generally, we have that, is New Zealand on the right track, wrong track, whatever it is, and now the majority of people have said wrong track for quite some time. The numbers on this poll, my goodness, like, look, I don't have them to hand, but they're all like 88% say everything sucks. It's pretty high up on everything. Like, it's one of those things where you look at it and you go, wow, this is an incredibly bleak picture. There are not a lot of optimists here. People are generally expecting that, for later generations, their lives are going to get worse, that the economy is going to get worse in the next year or two. Like, that seems to be what all the polling and data is showing at the moment, and to an even more extreme view than it did like a couple of months ago. So I think there's a lot of sign of pessimism at the moment, and I understand it. I fundamentally understand it.
Yeah.
But it's like when we start to combine all these sort of very negative feelings about one's life circumstances, the future trajectory of the country and international relations generally, it kind of goes, well, what do the public then want in political leaders and in politics? And that's where we start to see the breeding ground for more populism, for more anti-migration rhetoric, for more targeting of different groups and so on and so forth. Seems like a lot of people think that Winston Peters again will, and New Zealand First will benefit from it. But we're starting to see, like the Greens in the UK are still increasing their vote share. So there are alternatives, potential alternatives there, and the Greens here have been having a go at that as well. So we'll see with this, but it's not breeding great conditions for hope, change, positive election, and, all living together in harmony.
Well, maybe people get fired up and want to seek action. Millie's been doing State of the Nation speeches at home.
Yeah, I have. Because, you get home,
which is basically just a glorified rant, but that's sort of what they are anyway, isn't it?
Yeah, that is all they are, actually. Yeah.
You get home for the day and you go, look, I've got my 5 minutes aside for my State of the Nation speech, and this is how I'm feeling about it.
That would be honestly such a fun diary project to look back on, wouldn't it? God, I mean, you hope it would be a fun project to look back on, and we wouldn't be in some kind of war where we're all manufacturing things.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, it's that hard thing as well. I mean, I do a lot of research in and around AI at the moment and Indigenous data sovereignty, and it's another area where you just go, there's, like, a report that came out that showed that, like, in the areas surrounding the AI data centres, the temperature's up 9 degrees Celsius. You're like, oh, no. So I thought there's a lot of places for, like, bleakness and pessimism. But, yeah, people can get fired up to some degree, right?
Yeah.
And then, of course, we've got an election coming. If you don't like them, vote them out. And, yeah.
Yeah. Everybody get enrolled to vote.
Yes.
And vote.
Yes.
Do you have any advice for people who are kind of just sitting there going, oh, everything sucks, this place has gone to the pack? Do you have any advice to get us through?
Yeah, you know, it's free to volunteer in your community. You know, you can't afford any of your fun things that you used to do. You know, why not, like, pick up some rubbish or, I don't know, go door knocking and enroll people to vote? You know, that would be my view. And it's that thing of, like, of course, there's the side hustle culture that we all have multiple jobs and things that we're doing at once.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you do have any energy after all of that, think about, yeah, what are the ways that you can kind of volunteer and make your community better? And, like, if politics sucks, I mean, at some point, some of us have to get involved in politics to try to change that, and get involved in things where, you can actually make a difference. So is there some way to, you know, do something like good old carpooling or figure out some way to, like, make the people around you's lives better in that way? I mean, can you get back into that sourdough baking from the COVID years and bring joy to someone in that way? You know, it's like, I think it is finding those little acts and those acts of community that are so important, you know, in that increasing online, corporatized environment, those acts of humanity and being, you know, like, what was it? The people with the free hug sign. Not that far, maybe, but something.
Kind of along that line. No, I totally get it. And I also think, you know, putting the phone down, stop doom scrolling for one second, you know. You don't have to spend 3 hours a day doing that. And you can find meaningful connection in your community. It's going to be okay. We've got each other.
Well, we'll be okay. And I got my little, like, phone alert last night that my usage is up an hour a day, you know. So these sort of the big crisis framings, the big, like, drama, it sucks us in. And actually, yeah, it's like,
it,
who benefits from that? We don't benefit from that, but we can turn it around.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, ending on a positive note.
Knew
you'd have
good advice, Lara. I knew you'd have it.
Phone down and go outside, I guess.
Yeah, wonderful.
Touch grass.
Or go on holiday like you are. That's
yes,
nice.
Yes, I am. Yeah. And hopefully I won't get stranded in any foreign country.
Oh, my God.
No.
Yeah, hope not. We need you back to help us through this crisis.
Oh, not another crisis. There'll probably be a new one by the time I'm back in a couple of weeks.
So true.
Have the most amazing time.
Yeah.
Hopefully you can tune out a little bit. And we'll catch up with you when you're back, eh?
Yeah, totally.
Thanks so much, Lara. Ka kite.
Bye.
Ka kite.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.